You know, it's safe. This is a safe place for you. But it's safe in that we can all acknowledge today and be honest and say that we're all a work in progress. And if we put on airs, or if we play games, or we put up facades, or we try to be, or make people think we're something when we're not, we're deceiving ourselves, right? And we may fool other people, but we don't fool God. And you know, if we're transparent, and we come here with a heart that says, you know, I haven't arrived yet. Paul the Apostle said that. I haven't arrived yet. Amen? Yeah. I'm forgetting what's behind. I'm pressing on. It's a good place to be, because then we can all kind of relax and say, you know what, we're family here. We're all working through things together. We're not here to be each other's judge. Amen? We leave that up to Jesus. But we are here to help each other. And you who are spiritual, restore those who are in an error. Amen? Considering yourself also. We need to be very careful when we bring correction, how we do that. How many know it's inappropriate for us to go around and talk about somebody's folly or their sin, amen, behind their back? Amen?
Amen.
That's called sowing discord among brethren, and God hates the person who does that, it says. Oh, yeah. It's in your Bible.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
You want to know why? Because Satan's behind it. And you know, I think about how Jesus was commending Peter for the great revelation that Jesus was the Christ, and just a few moments later, he's calling him Satan. Get behind me, Satan. You don't care about the things of God. And you know, sometimes it's just a good rebuke is in order. But let's make sure that Jesus is in that rebuke. Amen. And that we're not just kind of like going around with a log and I trying to help everybody else out. Or we don't have a grudge, a personal grudge. And so we're going to, come on. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Now, you know, that is kind of, we all have opinions, don't we, of what it should look like. But how many would agree with me today that God's word is the safest authority? It's not about my opinion of how it should look. Because we can all have all kinds of gods, you know, in our minds and ideas of what God is like, because we just happen to want God to be that way. You know what I'm saying? We can want God to be any way. We can fashion a God if we want to fit any of our own opinions of what we think God should be. It's idolatry. We can be idolatrous in our hearts. We can have a different Jesus. But my Jesus is the author of this book called the Bible. And that's going to be our authority. Amen? If God said it, I believe it. That settles it. So don't be wise in your own understanding. You got to find out what God says about it and do those things. Amen? Do it His way. Israel was in a time of great darkness. They were under Roman oppression. They hadn't had any revelation for 400 years. It was a very dark time in their history. David's kingdom had fallen. It was at its lowest point. They had become enslaved as a people. But it was in the darkest time that God showed up. And it's always darkest before the dawn. If you've been a follower of Jesus for any amount of time, you know that there are times when you're going to go through the valley. Sometimes of the shadow of death. Great darkness, and where things are not clear, things are not going to make sense. You're going to wonder if God is still with you. But I have discovered that the greater the darkness, the greater the dawn. And when your dawn comes, it's going to be way, way, way beyond what you could have imagined. We all need to go through those times, those valleys, and those dry places. How many know that if you dump water on crops continually, that they will actually rot? And dry periods are important too. You know, a shrub in the desert grows deep roots. It has to go deep for water. But them suckers are pretty tough. I spent some time in Yakima in the Army, and you just don't grab one of those things and pull them up. They're in there. They've gone deep. And you know, we need to be just like that. We need to have those roots that have gone deep for the water of God. Amen. The refreshing waters of God. If you feel yourself being dry, go deeper. Go deeper. Go deeper. Don't give in. Don't say, well, I guess that's just the way it's going to be. Seek. And you'll find. If you're thirsty, amen, you will drink. If you're thirsty enough, you'll go where the water's at. And Israel was in this time of darkness when the Messiah, Jesus, was born. Isaiah had prophesied in Isaiah 11:1, it says, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. This was one of the prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. The Hebrew literally means a shoot will spring forth from the stump of Jesse. In the New Living Translation, it says, out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot, yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. So what do we see here? We see life sprouting out of hopelessness. We see life sprouting out of brokenness. We see life coming out of death. And sometimes in our lives, we just feel like that stump. We feel like all I've got is a stump. And yet, out of that stump, out of that deadness, out of that brokenness, out of that hopelessness, there is life. Amen? Life can come forth. Out of your darkness, light can dawn. Jesus wants to be our dawn. The day spring on high has visited us. That means literally the dawn has come. And the darker the night, the greater the light, the dawn, when it comes. And when we're at our lowest points and we have nothing to offer on our own and everything seems impossible, those are the times, folks, when you are in the position for the greatest miracle. Has anybody beside myself had to wait for a few things? We like instant results, you know. But it's in the times of travail, in the times of waiting on God, where we grow and we become stable. Our roots go deeper as we seek out the Lord in the midst of our situation. You know, we're so prone to wander, like the old hymn says. We're prone to wander, aren't we? And God is jealous over you with a godly jealousy. He so much loves us. He's in love with us, and he doesn't want to lose us to the world. Amen? He's jealous. He doesn't want us to give ourselves to any other god. And so because Father loves us so much, at times he's going to have to discipline us. I don't know about you, but when I grew up, I got spankings, and I didn't like them. But now I can appreciate it. Some of you say, well, you should have gotten a few more. But now I can look back and appreciate the fact that my parents loved me enough, you know, to discipline me. And, you know, it's no mystery, but today, the reason why our people even now have become adults and our children are so undisciplined is because they have not had discipline. Discipline prevents a lack of discipline in someone's life. Discipline is not pleasant at the time, but it produces good fruit in someone's life. And all of a sudden, you know, there's new revelation that's coming out. A new way, a better way. And many Christians are believing that lie. And they just let their children raise themselves. And what you have are undisciplined children that run amok, who have no respect for authority. Father God loves us so much that He will discipline us. But how many realize that discipline also gives you an appreciation for authority in your life? And how many know that discipline also brings us into a place where we can find comfort, knowing that someone loved me enough to tell me the truth? So if God is disciplining you, sometimes when you're listening to these messages, God is disciplining. But it's because He loves us that He tells us what we need to know, what we need to hear. If you're undisciplined, you cannot be productive in the kingdom. Matthew 4:16 says, "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region in the shadow of death, light has dawned." Who are the people who sat in darkness? These historically were the inhabitants of Galilee. And they were living, of course, in darkness and blindness. And that light, of course, was who?
Jesus,
right? He came as the light into the world. And He talked to them. He preached to them. He opened their understanding that they might know Him. He revealed His great salvation to them. You and I cannot know Him unless He reveals Himself to us. There are a lot of people who think they know God who don't, because He hasn't revealed Himself to them. They've got their own imagination that's been very active in creating a God of their own fashioning, but we cannot know Him except by revelation, except by God revealing Himself to us. And He reveals Himself to us how? By the Spirit and the Word. Amen? The Spirit and the Word. We got to have more than just the Word. Amen? We've got to have the Spirit and the Word. Because it's the Spirit who is the teacher, who reveals Christ to us. The good news is that no matter what's gone on in your life, no matter how dark things may seem, how bad things may seem right now, or how hopeless your situation appears, no matter how badly you've blown it, no, how badly you've sinned, there's always hope in God if you turn to the Lord. Now, the enemy wants us to run away from God when we mess up. He wants you to run away from fellowship when you mess up. And that's why we constantly strive to have a fellowship that is safe for people to come in to, where they're not going to feel like I'm here, they're going to judge me when I get there. Because if we would judge ourselves, we would not be condemned. You know, if we're judging ourselves, you know, I remember that song, I think it was in the 60s, late 60s, "Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the waters, who calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself, and you can look at others differently." There's truth in that. Folks, I'm a man who's been a great sinner, you know. I mean, I was good at it. And God had mercy on me. God forgave me. God forgave me much, you know. And my perspective towards others has been affected by that. You know, when I've been forgiven so much, and I see, yeah, that they're a mess. Yeah, they've got problems. Yeah, they're in sin. And we detest sin. We hate sin because we know what it does to a person. Amen? We have to look at people differently. We have to look like God did, as when He was willing to look past that in our lives so that He could take our place on the cross. Amen? He could pay the price for us. God was willing to look past our sin. And He took all of our sins upon Himself at the cross. So we need to have the same attitude towards others. You know, we We celebrate Christmas. Some people do it once a year. They make this big to-do about Christmas. And even people will acknowledge that, yeah, it's a day that we've set aside to be the birthday of Jesus. And we rejoice in the fact that God has sent His Son into the world, you know, to be the Savior. And a child is born, a son is given, you know. And even at the time when Christ came, you know, there were many who saw His glory. They beheld Him, and they rejoiced, and they were so full of just the awesome joy of experiencing, seeing the Christ child, you know. And yet Jesus had a very hard road ahead of Him. Amen. And Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And He did many miracles, and they marveled at how He multiplied, you know, the fish and the loaves, and opened the eyes of the blind, and all the things that Jesus did. And people wanted to be with Jesus because He's a miracle man, and they're under Roman oppression and rule, and they're thinking, here comes the answer. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The king is here. The Messiah has come. Many of them, you know, we're trying to figure out, is this the one we're talking about, or are we looking for somebody else? But they rejoiced in His day to see Him and to be with Jesus. And then Jesus began to reveal to them what it really meant to be His follower. What it really meant to be a disciple of Jesus. He began to reveal to them the cost of following Him. That there was a price that you would have to pay to be His follower. That there would be suffering involved. There would be tribulation. There would be difficulty involved in being a follower of Jesus. That if you're going to truly be His disciple, you're going to have to utterly disown yourself and take up your cross and follow Him. And when He began to reveal the truth of the matter, many didn't want to follow Him anymore. They wanted to follow Jesus when it was good, when it was easy, when there was the miracles, when there was the free lunch. But then when it came down to denying myself, taking up my cross, following Him, suffering with Him, being rejected with Him, being despised with Him, having your name cast out for Him. When it came down to the reality that we must, through many tribulations, enter into the kingdom. This is where there is a line of demarcation between those who truly follow Jesus and those who do not. We sang that song this morning that, Lord, we do not seek Your hand, but we only seek Your face. And I think so often, myself included, I'm seeking His hand, but not His face. I'm asking God for things. I'm asking God for stuff. I'm asking God to meet my needs. And God does that. But are we willing to seek His face? Are we willing to go all the way with Him? Do we want to know Him, or do we want Him just to take care of our stuff? Do we truly want to be one of His followers? Folks, I think if the truth be known, if we're honest about it, don't get mad at me for saying this, but many of us are very full of ourselves. I struggle with myself, do you? We want it our way. We don't want to deny our way. We want it our way. We want God's way, yes, as long as it fits into my way. I'll walk with Jesus as long as everything is going well. Things are smooth. There's money in the bank account, food on the, whatever. You know, everybody likes me. I'll follow Jesus. Yeah, I'd be popular. I want everybody to like me. When it comes down to being despised or being rejected or being persecuted, how many of us are willing to go there? How many know that you and I are called to follow in His steps? They were shouting out, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David." Palm leaves thrown along His route. You know, the Messiah has come. The King has come. Hallelujah. We're going to be set free from our Roman oppression. Life is going to be grand from here on out. And the next thing they know, He's being nailed to a cross. And all their dreams, all their hopes had been dashed. They were broken. They were crushed. They couldn't understand what's going on. Has anybody ever felt that way? What's going on? I don't understand. And while they still had just the fog of grief that clouded their eyes and their perception and thought all hope was lost, that they heard word. Amen? That He's risen. He's alive. And He's alive forevermore. Amen. And He is the light. Amen? And now, this is His commission to us. These are the last words, folks, that He spoke when He gave, amen, before His ascension. Matthew 28, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation, amen, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything that I taught you. As the disciples followed Jesus, 11 out of the 12 went to their death. But they were going all the way with Jesus. They were not going to look back. They weren't turning back. There was no one else they could go to. He is eternal life. Except for John. They couldn't kill him because it wasn't his time. Same thing is true about you and I, folks. Nobody's going to kill you and take you out until God says so. Just be faithful, amen, unto death. Be faithful to God in whatever He calls you to do. Don't be afraid of the boogeyman. Don't be afraid of the devil. Don't be afraid of man. Fear God, amen, and depart from evil. Obey the Lord. Submit. Give your life to Jesus Christ. Be willing to go all the way with Him. Because if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake in the gospel, you will find it. Are we willing to really give it all up for Jesus? What if the Lord appears to us and says, I want you to give all your stuff, all your belongings away. Give to the poor. And come and follow me. It would be a good test, wouldn't it? You know, we're quick to say, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But sometimes, folks, we crumble under the smallest things that happen. Are you hearing me? We need to go deep. We need to draw near to God. We need to go deep into His heart. We need to hear from God. We need to know what He's saying. We need to know and discover what His will, His true will is for my life. I need to know that I am in the will of my Father. I don't want to be full of myself. I don't want to be full of my will. I want to give my will over to Him and say, Lord, You decide now. I want You to be Lord over my life. I don't want to see Jesus in that day and have Him say, now who are You? Well, Lord, didn't we cast out devils in Your name? Didn't we prophesy in Your name? Didn't we do many wonderful works in Your name? And have them say, well, who are You? Why? Because we didn't choose His way. We wanted it our way, and we wanted to do His stuff our way. Are you hearing me? Do we know why we're here? Do you know why you're called? Do you know what your purpose is in this earth? Are you living the will of God for your life, folks? I usually ask that question, and I get just a few hands that go up where someone is able to say, I truly know what God's will is for my life. How many know there is nothing more important than that? We need to know. You need to seek God. We need to get back to the altar. We need to get back to seek His face. Say, Lord, I want to know You. Your sheep hear Your voice. I want to know Your voice. We live in a microwave society. We do pop-up prayers. You know, well, nothing happened. Seek and you'll find. Well, that's the Christmas message today. Ho, ho, ho. I want to do the will of God. He has come. Amen. He has died, but He has risen. He ever lives to make intercession as our high priest. He's given us the commission. He's telling us to take up our cross, follow Him daily, go with Him. Amen. Live your life for eternity, because here we have no continuing city. But we look for one to come, wherein dwells righteousness. He's preparing a place for those who are looking for Him. Amen. He's coming for a bride. He's not coming for a worldly church. He's coming for a bride, a pure bride that is sold out for Him. Amen. That has no other lovers. And I want to be His bride. I want to see Jesus in that day and hear Him say, I've been waiting for you. Well done. Because those who serve Him now, those who suffer now, those who deny themselves now, those who are willing to follow Him wholeheartedly now, will one day sit at His table. And Jesus says, I will gird myself, and I'll wait on You in that day. I'm going to be like Peter. Oh, Lord, not me. But do you see the heart of God? Jesus paid the ultimate price for us, shed His blood, died a horrible death so we could be saved. Amen? And that blood is on the altar, folks. That blood cries out mercy for those who will repent of their sins and give their life to Jesus Christ. And if you and I understand that, then we need to also make sure that those that we are able to influence in our lives, people we walk with and work with, and meet, that we can tell them, listen, there is hope. Your situation may look hopeless. You may not have any light, but God has sent the light. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world. Amen. He went to the cross for you. You can be forgiven and you can be set free from the power of sin, so you can live a life of liberty in the Spirit, serving the Lord acceptably. God wants us to follow Him. Jesus. I'm just going to finish with this. Folks, I just have to testify that, you know, I am so thankful that Jesus is my Lord. Amen. And that I can come to Him and find refuge in Him, find peace. You know, that sometimes life just seems to overwhelm us. We don't have to be overwhelmed, because our God is greater than whatever you face. God is bigger. Let the size of your God determine the size of your dreams. Don't, amen, shrink God in your mind. He's a mighty God. We have a great big God, and there's a little tiny devil. You know, the devil is constantly in our face saying, oh, look what I'm doing, look what I'm doing. And we need to say, well, look what Jesus has already done. He's already overcome you, defeated you, and we have authority to defeat you in Jesus' name. Amen. To destroy your works. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many know that the works of the devil have been destroyed already this morning in this time? Amen. 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 The voice of truth tells me a different story.
Amen.
The voice of truth says, do not be afraid.
Amen.
Hallelujah.